بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين.
So we already finished the discussion of tayammum and ghusl, and now we are starting the subject of salat. And the wajib salawat, the wajib prayers are six. First is yawmiyya, that means the daily prayers.
Five daily prayers.
And the second wajib prayers is Salatul Ayat, and the third one's Salatul Mayyit, this means the prayers on the dead. And the fourth one is Salatul Tawaf, the prayers of the rotation around Kaaba. And the fifth one is the Salatul Qadha, that means the missed prayers. Al-Walid, missed. This prayers of the deceased father. Only on the oldest son. And the sixth and the last type of prayers is the one which is wajib, either through ijara or through nazar or through ahad or through qasam. Ijara means we hire someone to pray the prayers for our dead father, for example. This is called Salatul Ijara. Ahad means a covenant towards Allah. Nazar means there's a special, basically, way of obliging ourselves. And Qasam means Islamic way of swearing. It has its own conditions. If somebody does Ijara or Ahad or Nazar or Qasam, then the prayers becomes wajib through one of those. These are the only six wajib prayers in Islam. Now, the yawmiyya, the five-time daily prayers are Fajr and the Dhuhr and the Asr and the Maghrib and the Isha. And all these five this is 2 rakats and this is 4, and this is 4 and this is 3 and this is 4, and the 4 rakat ones, 2 rakats in while when we are traveling according to the Islamic conditions. Now the each one of these 5 prayers has a waqtun mukhtas, and each one of them has a waqtun mushtarak. Waqtun mukhtas means a specific time exclusively for that prayers only. You cannot pray other prayers in that time. Mushtarak is the common time of the prayers where you can pray other prayers as well. Okay, so let us start with the Dhuhr prayers, the exclusive time or the waqtun mukhtas for the Dhuhr prayers is as follows. If this is a surface of earth and you install anything straight on the soil, vertically straight, let's suppose a stick, in Arabic we call it shakhis. Any kind of stick, if you install vertically straight on the ground, when the sun is rising from the east and moving towards the west, so when sun is here, there the shadow of the stick is obviously here. When sun comes on top, the shadow does not disappear. It comes either to this side, towards the south or towards the north. The place where the shadow disappears totally is the Holy Kaaba in some of the days of the year. That's where the shadow totally disappears and there is no shadow on anything you place on ground. This is the scientific evidence that Kaaba is the center of the earth. So, for in the rest of the places in the world, we find, so if when the sun is rising from the east towards the west, we find the shadow is towards the east, towards the west. Now, when sun goes towards the west, on top of this shakhis, it moves towards west. That's where the shadow starts to appear towards the east. Now we will wait for 2 fingers combined, unmulatain. This is the distance that our Sharia says to wait for a while as ihtiyat and caution. So unmulatain is the distance that we will wait as a caution, When the shadow becomes equal to 2 fingers, up till that time we won't start praying our Dhuhr. That's the time of caution and ihtiyat. After that, the shadow is appearing towards the side of the east. That's where the time of Dhuhr prayer starts. So we'll wait for 2 fingers joint together, this much extent of the shadow we will wait as a caution, and then we'll start our Dhuhr prayers. Now when you start your Dhuhr prayers from this point onwards, you'll wait for this duration as an ihtiyat, for example. Now the shadow moves further and that's where you start your Dhuhr. That's the awwalul waqt, the beginning time of Dhuhr. Now from this time onwards, as much time as you usually take for praying 4 rakat of prayers is the waqtun mukhtas, the exclusive time in your favor for the Dhuhr prayers. Now somebody can pray 4 rakat of prayers in 5 minutes. For him, the exclusive and mukhtas time for Dhuhr is those 5 minutes. He is not supposed to pray other prayers in that time. For somebody who is really fast, he can pray the 4 rakat prayers in 4 minutes or 3 minutes. For him, the first 3 minutes is mukhtas with the Dhuhr. It depends from person to person, varies. Okay, so basically if a person, whatever time you usually take to say your 4 rakat of prayers, four rakats of prayers, that much is exclusive and mukhtas for the Zuhur in your favor. After that specific time, that suppose you usually take 5 minutes to say four rakats of prayers, after the first 5 minutes expire, now there is the mushtarak time, the common time of Zuhur prayer. Now you enter into the common time. So that's the difference between the mukhtas and the common time. When you enter into the common time, you're allowed to pray whatever prayers you want. You want to do qada prayers first and then you say your Zuhur, regardless of the fact whether you said your Zuhur prayers or you did not say your Zuhur prayers. This time is specific to Zuhur. Whether you pray or you don't pray, it is specific to Zuhur. So if you pray, you have to pray Zuhur. If you don't pray, that's up to you, but that time is specific to Zuhur. After that time passes by, now you are entered into a common time zone where you can pray any prayers you want, a mustahab prayers, a qada prayers, or the same Zuhur prayers. If you hadn't prayed, whatever prayers you pray, that's a common time. So this is about the description for the Zuhur prayers. Now, obviously, the fadilat of Zuhur lasts till the shadow of the shakhis becomes equal to its size. Up till this time is the time of fadilat. This is the awwalul waqt, the beginning time, and this much is the fadilat time of the Zuhur. You know, if the shadow becomes equal, until the time the shadow becomes equal to the size of the stick you place on the ground. So whatever, you put a marker, if the shadow becomes equal to the size of the marker, that's the fadilat time has ended if it becomes equal. Now when the shadow starts increasing from this point onward, until the time the shadow becomes double the size of the stick, from this point onwards till this point until it becomes double, this is the fadilat time of Asr prayers. So awwal al-waqt is here, fadilat time is up till here of Zuhur, and from here till here for the Asr prayers. And when the shadow increases further, you have crossed the fadilat time. So this is about the Zuhur prayers in the Waqtun Mushtarak and Waqtun Mukhtas. Now, no. It's not like this. No, Awwal time of Asr, obviously, after you have prayed the Zuhur, you can say the Asr prayers straight away after that. If you can wait for the fadilat time, that's okay, that's good. If you can wait for that time, that's okay. That's the fadilat time. But that's okay, because you're still saying it in the fadilat time. That's okay. We also have a fadilat time. I mean, obviously in our Sharia, we have a fadilat time. So if somebody can say the prayers in five time prayers at five different fadilat times, that's good. Yeah, I mean, awwal al-waqt is the beginning of the prayers, the time of the prayers. That's the awwal al-waqt. But for Zuhur. Now, after you are done with the Zuhur, you can say your Asr prayers, which is combined because Prophet also combines. So there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want to get more thawab, you can wait till this time and say it in this time frame and you'll get more thawab. So this is the Zuhur. Now let's move to the Asr. The Waqtun Mukhtas of the Asr prayers. Now the sun has set.
This time would be different for different places.
Yeah, it will be different at different places and even different at one place throughout the year. Throughout the year it will be different because of the position of the sun.
Fadilat time could be short or long.
Could be short or long.
In the same place.
That's true. So now the sun has moved towards the west and it has set. Sun, this ball of the sun, in Arabic we call it Qurs or Shams. The ball of the sun is no longer visible. It's below the visible horizon. This is called Ghurub al-Shams. Ghurub means sunset. We don't pray the Maghrib. Maghrib prayers is different than the Ghurub. They're two different timings. We never pray at the time of ghurub. There's a difference in Arabic between ghurub and maghrib. We pray at the maghrib time, not at the ghurub time. Okay, that has to be very clear. Our Sunni brothers pray at the ghurub time. When the ball of the sun is no longer visible for the onlookers who are standing on the surface, if they're looking at the visible horizon, the ball of the sun is no longer visible. So that's the time of sunset. At the time of sunset, the whole sky, east and the west, everywhere there is redness. Everywhere there is redness. And in the astronomical definitions of day, if you find out the definitions of day and night, nobody calls it night, quote unquote, because the brightness of the sun, which is reddish in color at that time, the brightness has taken over the entire sky. It's not dark yet. So in the terms of astronomy, it is not called night. But that's where our Sunni brothers pray, and that's the time of ghurub, sunset, not the maghrib. We pray at the maghrib time, and sun moves further down. That's the time of maghrib. So what is the time of maghrib exactly? The time of maghrib is described like this. When the sun sets in the west, what happens is that there's a redness in the sky all over. Now the redness starts to disappear from the east. Sun is moving further down towards the west. Redness is disappearing towards the west. The first thing you find, this area becomes dark, then this area becomes dark, then this area becomes dark. This much is still bright, until time this half of the whole eastern side becomes dark. When the half of the eastern side becomes dark and this half is still bright, now the sun moves further down and the darkness of the east comes to move towards the west. This is the beginning time of Maghrib prayers. When the darkness of the sky is coming from the east and the whole east is dark, and now it starts moving towards the west. When it starts moving towards the west, that's the beginning time of Maghrib prayers. Now again, from that time onwards, when the darkness starts moving towards the west, okay, and this much is dark, and it starts moving towards the west, now that's the beginning time of Maghrib. From that time till the darkness is still diminishing towards the west. Now from this time onwards up till those few minutes that you usually take to say three rakats of prayers, let's suppose you take 3 minutes to take three rakats of prayers. In your favor, the first 3 minutes are muhtas, waqtun muhtas, the exclusive time for Maghrib only, where you're not supposed to pray any other prayers. If somebody prays the Maghrib prayers in 5 minutes, for him the first 5 minutes is muhtas. We don't do any other salat in that time. You can do the nafila of Fajr and in the beginning time of Fajr, that's okay, but not other prayers, like qadha prayers or some other prayers, we don't do it at that time. No, it's not batil, but it's not sanctioned by Allah at that time. I will double check, maybe some of the mujtahids may have said it's batil too. I have to double check on that. Because when it is not sanctioned, it's not supposed to be prayed at that time. Yeah, I will double check whether it's batil or not. Maybe some have said it's batil, maybe. But I will double check on that. But it's not supposed, Allah did not ask us to do it at that time. So we have to avoid it.
Then has the order have to be maintained, for instance, after the muhtas time, in the common time, for instance, somebody does Isha before Maghrib, that be wrong?
Yes, that will be wrong.
Even
in common time, that will be wrong.
So suppose somebody prays a Maghrib prayer in the common time, and he later found out it was batil, but he prayed Isha right after that, maybe, supposing that, he removed the element that made batil and then prayed Isha, but now this Maghrib is batil, he prayed Isha already, what happens if,
and a person prayed Maghrib in the
so it was common time.
In the common time, okay.
It's common time. So he prayed Maghrib first, but later on he found it was batil, but he prayed Isha, and but the batil thing was removed, let's suppose he did another wuzu or changed his clothes in between.
Okay.
But then he found out that the first clothes
was najis, so the Maghrib was batil. Yes, both again, because there are a few elements. If we find out even after we are done with the salat, we have to repeat the prayers, and one of those few elements that make the salat batil and ask us to redo it is najasat of the clothes. If you happen to find after you are done with the prayers that your clothes were najis, then you have to say your prayers again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but because the Isha he did before the Maghrib was done. That Maghrib was not Maghrib. That was not correct. So this Isha is not accepted without the Maghrib. So obviously he has to redo Maghrib first and then redo Isha.
But for Qaza prayer, that's not a condition. Like if you do Qaza, you can do it outward?
Well, no. Even in the Qaza prayers, if somebody prays Isha, he prayed Maghrib and Isha both as Qaza, and then the Maghrib turned out to be Batil, then Isha itself was not Batil, but then what, he cannot do Maghrib after the Isha. No, he has to maintain the Tartib in the Qaza prayers. Suppose a person missed the whole day of the prayers or doing the Qaza of the whole day, so you can do the Qaza of your Fajr prayers later and the Qaza of Maghrib and Isha first. That you can do, but between Maghrib and Isha you have to abide by the Tartib.
And the same thing for the Dhuhr.
Same is for the Dhuhr. Yes. Can you repeat the question, please?
If someone misses Fajr,
yes. You can pray it after Dhuhr as well. You're okay, you can do that. Between the Maghrib and the Tartib is compulsory. Between one Maghrib and Isha and the other Maghrib and Isha, you can pray. Let's suppose a person missed Maghrib and Isha of today and Maghrib Isha of tomorrow. Now he can pray Maghrib Isha of the second day earlier and the first day later. He can do that. But between the Maghrib and Isha prayers, he has to say pray Maghrib first and Isha second. You can do five Maghrib Isha together.
And then you still have Fajr. So you don't have to follow the Tartib when you are doing the Qaza for multiple days.
Tartib, if you mean that you don't have to pray Fajr necessarily of the same day and then pray the Dhuhran of the same day and then pray the Maghrib, that's better to do like this. But if you don't do it, it's still okay. It's not batil. You can just do the Maghrib of the first day, Maghrib of the second day, Maghrib of the third day, and then do the Fajr of the first day, and the Fajr of the second day, and the Fajr of the third day. You can do like this. Although it's better to do it in the sequence within the day as well. But between Maghrib and Isha, you will always abide by the sequence in Tartib. You cannot do Isha first. You always have to do the Maghrib first and then the Isha second. They can do that. Yes, they can do that. But it's not good to do like this. They can do it. It's not batil. But it's not good to do. It's better to do one day, tarti. Yeah.
All 17.
But it's not batil if he does that. He can just pray all the fajr prayers first, and then pray all the zuhran first, then pray all the maghrib. He can do that. But that's not the appreciated way. So when the humrah, we call it in our terminology of the fiqh, humratun mashriqiyya, the eastern redness. Humratun mashriqiyya, the eastern redness. So when the sun sets, there's a redness all over the sky. The eastern redness starts to diminish towards the west, and when it diminishes over on top of the head, now you find the whole eastern half is black and dark, and the western half is still reddish. Now the darkness starts moving towards the west. When it starts moving towards the west, that's the beginning time, awwalul waqt of Maghrib. Not at the time when the darkness is here. When the darkness starts moving towards the west, that's the beginning time of Maghrib.
So when east is more dark than west?
Eastern half is bigger than the west. You can say like this. Eastern half of the semicircle is bigger, and western half of the semicircle is smaller. Even 1 degree, that's okay, yeah. Even 1 degree, that's okay. That's the awwalul waqt of Maghrib. And the waqtun mukhtas, the exclusive time, from that beginning time onwards, the exclusive time is as much time as you usually take to say 3 rakat of prayers. And that varies from person to person. You take 3 minutes, in your favor, the first 3 minutes are mukhtas and exclusive. I prayed in 4 minutes, for example. For me, first 4 minutes are mukhtas. Depends from person to person. Is that okay? And after we are done with the waqtun mukhtas, the exclusive time, now we enter into the common time. It's all the common time. And the fadilat ends when the whole redness is gone. Now the whole sky is dark, that's the fadilat time has ended. Is that okay? Excuse me. And the waqt, so now the muhtas time of Isha, before the middle of the night, before the middle of the night, منتصف الليل, middle of the night. In Farsi and Urdu we say nisf shab. Okay? Islamic middle of the night. Middle of the night is not 12 a.m. We are talking about the Islamic middle of the night. It may be 12 a.m. once in a while, maybe before it, maybe way before it, maybe after it, maybe way after that. Depends. From day to day, it varies. Islamic middle of the night, we are talking about. And I will explain what is the definition of the Islamic middle of the night very soon, inshallah. So now, we find that...
Assalamu alaikum, Talib bhai.